welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast,
hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyer-Starman.
For other programs in this series, please take a look at www.ledcast.net.
In this episode, I'm going to have a conversation with Mpumi Fundam and with Colin Mitchell about a Genesis exercise that they did in the Amatola district in South Africa. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Jörg. Nice to be here again with you.
So maybe the first thing we should quickly explain is what a district is and where Amatola is.
A district is a combination of a number of local municipalities. An Amatola district municipality is in the Eastern Cape, in East London. That's the main town where it has got its head office.
Okay, so that is where Amatola is. Now, what is a Genesis?
The Genesis exercise is it's a combination of tools and a process that would allow a district municipality at probably a macro level to decide where its economic potential lies and where its best opportunity to transform its economy may be.
Pumi, why did you start with the Genesis exercise in your district?
Well, we were doing a strategy, a regional economic development strategy for the district municipality to actually turn around the economy of the district. And in exploring the number of tools that we could utilize to kind of identify the priorities in which we will focus on for turning around the economy, Genesis tool came in more relevant and more appropriate for the use.
Okay, maybe we should then briefly explain what is specific about Genesis. So what is the difference between Genesis and other tools that people are using to formulate a strategy?
For us, it was actually to identify different scenarios, to look at what are the different scenarios that we could actually look at in terms of turning around the economy of the district. And therefore, that was very useful, which we thought that would be the best tool because it assists us in that, and as well identifying the priorities, defining them, and looking at catalytic projects that we could initiate to contribute towards turning around the economy of the district.
Okay, so one of the key elements in Genesis is scenarios and doing scenario writing. Colin, just give us a bit of background. Where does this scenario method come from and how does it work?
As far as I'm concerned, it's a huge number of people that have been involved in scenarios. But for me, probably the strongest influence was Clem Santer and Chantal Ilbury, who wrote a best-selling book called The Mind of a Fox. And their approach was a little bit different, where they developed a hypothesis that scenarios were not a high road or a low road or business as usual, but there was a variety of options, all of which would or could be plausible given a set of circumstances. And what scenario writing does is allows a region or a municipality to consider various options that they may be confronted with based on various uncertainties that may or may not ever occur.
So it's then one of those scenario approaches that look at a matrix and where you end up with four different scenarios. So when you do that in a participatory way with stakeholders, what are the kind of stakeholders that you actually invite for a scenario workshop in a Genesis?
Well, it would actually depend on the particular area in which you are doing the Genesis. In our particular area, what we did was to invite, the local municipalities within the district. We have got about 8 local municipalities. Was to invite business, and parastatals as well were part of that, and any other influential people and who are contributing towards the economic development of the district.
So when you then formulate scenarios in an interactive and participatory way, how do you look at the quality of the scenarios that come out of that? Is it very creative? Is it very diverse? Is it something that where you find that people come up with very unusual ideas?
I think mainly, you know, you look at particularly those that would have a significant improvement towards the economy, of that particular area, and of course, I mean, that depends on creativity, you know, and looking at the current situation and the ideal where you're wanting to go at the end of the period in which we are looking at.
So, if I remember correctly, in this methodology of Klemsanta and Chantal Ilbury, one of the things they highlight is the importance to look at uncertainties. So, one point is you look at rules of the game, but then, and in particular, you look at the uncertainties that you are facing with respect to your organization, or in this case, your location and your region. So, what were some of the uncertainties that were highlighted in that exercise?
So, some of the things were related to the expansion of the port, you know, what impact would that have in the economy of the district, you know, and the efficiency of the municipality in terms of, you know, reducing red tape and what kind of impact would that have. Those are some of the issues that came up in the discussion.
From my perspective, one of the major issues that kept re-emerging is that the Amatola district, like many districts in South Africa, is dominated by a major metropolitan, and then there's this agglomeration of local municipalities, many of whom have not been able to achieve their potential. And one of the key uncertainties was the role that East London as a metropolitan and Buffalo City played in the, as far as the economic future of the broader region was concerned. So, given the fact of the power of East London, how do you use that power in order to create an opportunity for the rest of the district? And the creative way that Amatola went about doing that was they chose to use East London as the end of the supply chain and build backwards along the four major corridors in the region to find out how those supply chains could build economic opportunity within the broader region.
So you effectively then organized the whole exercise around, I think, geographical corridors, but also linked that to a supply chain approach, which effectively is not much different from a value chain approach. So you're looking at the final market, and then you try to build your way back towards producers and see what kind of opportunities for producers are there.
And doing that as well. I mean, it was we combined that with looking at specific economic sectors, which were more dominant as well. You know, that were identified. The data mining process. You know, to look at what were the main and key drivers of the economy.
Now, that was a new term now, data mining. What does that mean?
Data mining, I guess, is South Africa, like many emerging economies, has been researched and probably researched again and again and again. And what Genesis does do, which probably is a little unique as well, is it doesn't try and reinvent or try and redo all the research that's already been done. What it does is looks for what's there, goes into it, pulls out the gems within the research, and then checks the relevance and cross-checks whether, in fact, that basic research is true or not, and uses that as a basis to move forward. So what it does, it means, effectively, that you don't invest a huge amount of time in redoing what's probably already been done to, in many cases, quite a good level of proficiency.
So what then did come out of this data mining? Maybe let's be a little bit more specific in terms of what sectors and what kind of catalytic projects were highlighted there.
Well, the key sectors that emerged were the tourism, you know, as an economic sector, and manufacturing is another sector, and agriculture is another sector, and what as part of that data mining, we then came up with issue
papers, you know, which looked at what were the issues and the constraints within those particular sectors, which then informed the priorities, therefore. And in terms of the kind of catalytic projects that emerged, I mean, they were within those particular sectors. I mean, I can think of at the moment, I mean, is the redevelopment of Hamburg as an arts colony, you know, and looking at development of the wood and forestry sector, you know, as well in the Amahlathi area, which is one of the local municipalities in the district. Those are the kind of you know, catalytic project and many more others that I cannot, you know, think of hand now.
Now, one of the challenges that we typically face in economic development is how to involve the private sector. Because it's not rare to find that LED is very much driven by the public sector, and it's very challenging to get the private sector on board. So how does that work in Genesis? How do you involve the private sector in Genesis, and how did it work out in this case?
One of the
very important attributes of the Amatala district and Buffalo City itself is that it has pretty good relationships with the local chamber of business. The chamber of business has been established for a long time and has legitimacy in the community. There are issues around that, as you would expect from a country that is emerging from where we've been. But in general, the Border Kai Chamber is quite legitimate, and they were quite valuable in identifying major stakeholders. But what also happened was that the Amatala district invested a huge amount of time and effort into the process that was needed to identify everybody that had to be spoken to and making sure that they were involved. The Amatala mayor, in fact, I would hesitate to say that he put his career on the line to back this process and make sure that it was effective at the end of the day.
Yeah, maybe to add on to that, I think, you know, what has been an add-on is that during this particular period when we were, you know, developing the strategy, we were as well in a process of hosting a growth and development summit for the district, you know, which was a high-profile and, you know, a summit with lots of stakeholders participating across the board. So that has as well enhanced, you know, the broader participation of stakeholders.
Okay. So how would you then describe the result of the Genesis exercise, both in terms of tangible outcomes and with respect to intangible outcomes?
I think what it has done, I mean, it has brought a whole shift, you know, in thinking in terms of how you promote economic development. It has shifted into focusing on the competitiveness of the area and looking at, you know, area development broadly, and looking at what are the key things, you know, that are required to develop the economy. It has shifted the thinking around, specifically focusing on small scale type initiative, rather looking at more on how do you develop the area to be competitive in a way. I think that's been the key result of the process.
Looking at tangible outcomes, I mean, one of the objectives of Genesis is to identify catalytic projects. So what were some of the catalytic projects that were identified?
There's a whole variety. I mean, broadly, they were intervention areas that were identified. One of those was locality development, you know, and a number of in the district were identified. I mean, just to cite an example, a node was developed around for tourism development in Dwesa Cwebe, which is an area in the Wild Coast. I've mentioned Hamburg. I've mentioned a wood cluster in the
in the Amahlathi area. So there was just a broad number of key catalytic, you know, projects that were identified. Even in agriculture, I mean, we identified livestock, you know, improvement as a key issue. Amathole District Municipal Area, through the process of doing the research, I mean, was seen to be, you know, having high potential in terms of livestock, you know, and therefore we had then identified specific projects around that. So that's the range, and as well as other sectors. I mean, possibly the one issue was looking at promoting the area for film as well, you know. There's a whole range of those that emerged as part of catalytic projects.
Okay. When you're looking at the follow-up after the exercise now, so I would assume that some of the projects are in implementation now?
Yes, even though they are at initiation stage, because I mean, it's just been only less than 12 months since we've completed the process. So yes, they are in the planning stage, and you know what it has done as well, this process, because of the catalytic projects that have been identified, we have been able to leverage resources for implementation of projects that have been identified as part of that. I mean, already we've managed to attract about 300 million rands for specific projects that are to be implemented.
So that would be about, well, at current exchange rate, 26, 27 million euro. That's a very significant amount of funds. Now, when you look at those projects that are under implementation now, is it mostly public sector activities, public sector interventions, or is it public-private partnership, or is it also private investment, private projects that are being in the phases of implementation now as a result of the Genesis?
Well, at this stage, I mean, they are mainly public sector initiatives. I mean, looks particularly infrastructure development and linking up different areas. So they are mainly those. The public-private partnership initiatives, they are at a very, very early stage of development, and they haven't really moved. And so far, I mean, we've been mainly focusing on the public sector investment initiatives.
Okay. Colin, when you're looking back at that exercise, I mean, you have been pioneering the Genesis method. So what was the major lesson learned, and to what extent did you adapt the method based on what you did and what happened in Amathole?
From my perspective, as probably more of a technical advisor to Amathole, what very quickly struck me is how quickly the municipality and the partners and the stakeholders in the development got to grips with the process, and how very quickly they raised the bar as far as as looking at what their opportunity was. And it didn't take more than probably 2 weeks before they identified that they had four very, very significant competitive advantages in the context of South Africa and possibly in the context of Africa as a whole. They quickly realized that they had a working harbor. They quickly realized that they had this unbelievable potential of the Wild Coast, which is probably maybe one of the last wilderness areas, coastal wilderness areas in the world maybe. They also had a very unique combination of mountains, natural forest and wetland that they could build on. And then they had this little, I can only say cute, enclave around a town called Hamburg, where they could create something completely unique. And what was interesting is how quickly this whole process came together and how quickly all the stakeholders got behind, very specifically looking to package those areas very competitively and on an international scale.
So I then also take it that one of the interesting observations is that the process was very, very quickly taken over by local stakeholders and driven by local stakeholders, and much, much less dependent on external advisors, external consultants than we often see it happen in LED.
Yes, and I think, you know, one can attribute
that to two things. I mean, one is the political leadership that we have that is open to new challenges, you know, changing in terms of how you do things instead of, you know, doing things the same way and hoping to get better results. That's one thing. but the other thing, you know, is that we have a very strong economic development agency, you know, that is supporting us, which is 100% owned by the district municipality. So in a way, I mean, you have such capacity within the district municipality. That I think has contributed quite a lot.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot for sharing that with us, and hope to talk to you again some other time in the not so distant future about the further implementation.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Jörg, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in South Africa.